No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Andy Staples on 3 Sports joining us on Heartland College Sports covering the Big 12. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you, as always, for being a part of the show, the YouTube channel, the podcast, the radio show. You know what to do. Hit that like button, subscribe as always, and we are grateful you're here. Andy, thanks as always for the time, and just take me through where you think this Big 12 is at right now when you look at the landscape, BYU, Texas Tech this weekend. What are you seeing from this conference?
Well, I remember going back to Big 12 media days and Brett Yormark getting up there saying that it's great that everybody thinks 10 teams can win the title, but need to get some separation at the top for the health of the conference. Well, they got it. They got it. And this game seems to be the you know what that was all culminating with. Now, obviously, Utah's still there, but they've got the two losses, and then Cincinnati's only got the one. But you do have kind of a clear upper echelon of the conference. We have a pretty good idea that the two participants in the title game are coming from those four teams. And I think this time last year, we didn't have anything like that. So, and then you look at Texas Tech and where they are statistically, especially on defense, whatever they paid for the roster is worth it. Like they're getting their money's worth because, yeah, I'm looking at counting stats, advanced stats. It doesn't seem to matter. They are dominant on defense, and that's what they were paying for. And really, you know, if Baron Morton can stay healthy, this is a team that can make the playoff and do damage in the playoff.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, someone asked us this in our mailbag we did earlier in the week. Is the Big 12 better off with two, or, I mean, there's still this like outside chance of three, but let's say two. Is the Big 12 better off with two teams in the playoff that lose early or one team in the playoff that makes a deep run? What do you think?
I think every league wants a team that makes a deep run that goes to the national title game or wins the national title, because that means there's somebody from your league that we're talking about for a month straight. And so I think that would be the ideal thing. And I think, you know, but ideally you'd have two teams that make it and they both win games in there. And the thing is, it's possible. You know, if it's Texas Tech and Utah, or Texas Tech and BYU, it's possible that they can win games and go into, you know, deeper into the playoff. I don't think it's just a participation trophy to get in. I think the way these teams have played this season, you feel pretty good about it. I mean, I think the College Football Playoff Selection Committee rankings bear that out. There's a reason there's no ACC team before you get to the third, you know, the first ACC team is Virginia, and it is after the third highest ranked Big 12 team.
Were you surprised by how much love the Big 12 got from the College Football Playoff Committee, or did you more or less expect that?
I was a little surprised at where they put Utah, but then if you look at some of the metrics that they are supposed to use, these are actually metrics that the SEC and Big Ten push for, because they do tend to favor those teams. These are predictive metrics, kind of almost like what Vegas uses to set the line. Mm-hmm. Utah's great in those. Like, those things love Utah. They're top 10 team in all those metrics, in those SP plus type ratings. And so that's why they're ranked so high. And the ACC teams, not, they don't tend to do well. Miami was doing well in those, and then they lost that second game to SMU and it dropped them pretty bad. But no, I mean, I'm not surprised, because the things the committee is supposed to value, that they've been told by the conferences to value, there are Big 12 teams that are doing really well in those.
So just the landscape in general, as you look at these Power Four conferences, you're right about the ACC behind the Big 12. Is it right now just, is it as obvious as SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, or is there more nuance to it than just stacking them up that way in order?
No, I mean, right now, I think you'd say that because the ACC is a bit of a mess at the top. And yeah, it's interesting because Virginia is the one team that controls its destiny in the ACC. But if you watch them play, they live very dangerously every week. They're actually not that different from BYU when it comes to that. But I would take BYU in most games against most teams over Virginia. But that's it just feels like there's a little bit better quality at the top in the Big 12 than the ACC.
Now, at the bottom, that's where there's a mess in the Big 12 right now. Mike Gundy's obviously been blown out by Oklahoma State. Colorado's just gotten slaughtered the last couple of weeks, so it's getting ugly in some of these parts of the conference. First off, Oklahoma State, where would you go if you were the Cowboys with all these other massive openings out there?
Denton, Texas. I'd get Eric Morris. I'd have him go bring his quarterback, bring his defense coordinator, Skylar Cassidy, who he just hired, who brought most of the Sam Houston State defense to them last year, and I'd have them port everything and just start winning immediately. I'd give them a bunch of money to go get players, which I think is something that they're prepared to do. I don't know that they were exactly starving out Mike Gundy in terms of what kind of resources they were giving him, but they clearly didn't trust him to spend money on players. But and based on what he said, you would understand why not. But if they go hire somebody who understands how to operate in this era of college football, I do think there's some resources there for that person. And I think they're going to be able to go out and get some players and win quickly. And they seem to be set up to find somebody who can bring them, you know, maybe a quarterback, maybe, you know, import the offense kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, you can go very fast, as we learned from our friends in Bloomington, Indiana.
Now, Colorado's gotten a lot of money. I mean, looks like they're rolling out their freshman quarterback, Julian Lewis, now. So they're just, they're all in, I guess, on next year, it seems like. But what's your read on where this goes for Coach Prime with the health issues in the offseason, the struggles this year? Is this just a blip on the radar, or is there something more?
I don't know what happens from this point. I want to see what Julian Lewis looks like. I mean, does he look like a quarterback of the future? I don't know. They can't be much worse than they've been the last couple of games. And, you know, the stuff with Deion Sanders, the health issues, I don't think anybody would begrudge him if he doesn't want to do this anymore. I mean, anybody, and I was one of the people who said, oh, maybe he just wants to coach his sons and Travis Hunter and that's it. But the fact that he came back this year, in spite of everything he's been through, he clearly wants to coach and wants to do it here and make this work at Colorado. So, like, he doesn't need to prove anything to anybody at this point. He's Deion freaking Sanders. So, and then, you know, the stuff he's got to deal with health-wise on a day-to-day, I can't even imagine trying to do that and deal with this very, you know, all-consuming job. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens the rest of the way. I think if he looks at Juju Lewis these last few weeks and feels like he's got a quarterback, then maybe, yeah, okay, let's build around this. But I don't know. I mean, defensively, they've got to play better, too. They've been, you know, had their doors blown off.
If you look at the landscape right now in this conference, a lot of the coaches who are on the hot seat coming in have more or less gotten off of them. Brent Brennan at Arizona is doing all right, and Scott Satterfield's doing well at Cincinnati so far. So if you look at it, is Dave Aranda's seat the hottest in the Big 12?
I knew you were poor Dave Aranda. He's on the hot seat. He coaches his way off, and now he's back on. Yeah. It's a legitimate question. I mean, he needs to have a good finish to this season because Baylor has money. They have resources. They're willing to spend it. You have to give them results for that. Mm-hmm. It's not a situation where they're not giving you what you need to be competitive in the conference. They are. So being 500 is not good enough. And that's where they're at. I mean, they're 5-4. They're 3-3 in the league. They've been very up and down. You know, they've had – And that's interesting because you go back and you look at what happened to Auburn and you say, okay, how come you didn't beat them at the beginning of the year? And, you know, so I do think that they are going to have to, now they did it last year. This is what they did last year. They finished very strong. So if they finish the way they did last year, they'll be just fine. Cause you know, look, if you end up winning 8 games, I don't think anybody's begrudging you that. But the problem is you're playing Utah and Arizona and Houston. And that does not bode well for the finishing out very, very strong. So we'll see what happens next week when they play Utah. I mean, if Utah comes in and clobbers them the way they're clobbering most of the teams they play, I think that may kind of be a writing on the wall situation.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just this coaching carousel in general, you've seen some of the Big 12 names. Kenny Dillingham's name has popped up now with a couple of the SEC jobs. But there hasn't been a lot of talk elsewhere. I mean, maybe Matt Campbell might be connected to the Penn State job. You would know better on that front. These names just show up in the rumor mill. Do you see a clear fit or at least something to keep an eye on with a Big 12 coach connected to one of these big-time jobs?
I do think Matt Campbell would be a great fit at Penn State. I don't know that I'm not sure how he would feel about Penn State. That would be the question is, you know, because Matt has been pretty vocal about not necessarily wanting one of those types of jobs where you're dealing with players making that much money and having to manage that situation. Obviously, everybody thought, OK, if Ohio State opened or if Michigan opened, that would be the perfect spot for him. Well, Penn State is of that ilk, that type of job. But I'm not sure that's necessarily something he wants. I've always thought that Matt Campbell, if he ever left Iowa State, it would be for the NFL because I feel like that would work better for him where everybody's kind of on the same talent playing field and you're not dealing like as the head coach in the NFL, you're just not dealing with all that stuff. You have people who deal with it. So I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily one. Dillingham, we've heard quite a bit at Auburn. I think if Florida State opened, that would be one that Kenny would get a look at. Now it's weird because there's a ton of guys at their alma maters this year that I think it would be a little bit tougher to pull them away. So you've got Kenny at Arizona State. You've got Brent Key at Georgia Tech. You've got Clark Lee at Vanderbilt who are winning at their alma mater. So I don't know that it's as cut and dried as you just go to Kenny Dillingham and be like, you want to coach Auburn? I don't know that he'd necessarily say yes. One name I would watch, if, say, like Kentucky open, which is certainly still a possibility, Sonny Dykes might be one who might be willing to try to make that jump. So they're playing pretty well. TCU, I mentioned those four teams at the top. TCU actually, because of who they play BYU and Cincinnati down the stretch, they could play a role in this thing too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that they're going to be able to make the championship game where they're at, you know, where they're coming from right now. But they could certainly play a role in this conference race.
Is that Sonny thing driven by TCU or just intrigue maybe in giving it a shot in the SEC?
I mean, Kentucky will pay you $9 million a year, and if you win 8 games a year, you get a statue. So it's just really all there is to it is there's a ton of money, and some of those jobs, they expect the world. That's not one of them. You know, I think LSU, Auburn, Florida, they expect national championships, but there are other ones where you can make a very, very good living and you don't have to win the conference title.
Mm-hmm. And then you look at some of these jobs too. Is there a downstream effect where if guys are flipping through Big Ten, SEC, vice versa, what does that mean for some of these Big 12 coaches? I don't know, but I imagine there's going to be kind of this game of musical chairs, right?
Yeah.
That's going to have to happen here.
Well, that's the thing with so many jobs open now, like you said, there are going to be people will leave for those jobs. People will then fill those jobs. And it is, there's going to be a lot more movement than people realize. So right now I think it's 11 job openings because Kent State actually closed because they elevated their interim, but you could see maybe 3 or 4 more firings.
Hmm.
We don't know if we're going to have any retirements or moves to the NFL. And then, you know, with the level that some of these jobs are, they will poach sitting head coaches in the power conferences in a lot of cases. And you will see movement at that point. That's where, you know, Big 12 coaches, ACC coaches are going to probably start moving around.
Does anything, I mean, listen, I'm a capitalist. It's not my money, but these buyouts, is there anything that you see happening with these buyouts, or is it just going to stay status quo?
Well, they have to come up with a different way to compensate. They have to offer a different kind of contract. And the thing is, it's a negotiation. There's always a give and a take. So if you're going to take away security, you probably have to give more money up front. And so I got a column coming out about this on Three. There's one method that it was a Hollywood agent who told me about it. And this person, you know, would negotiate deals for people getting TV shows and movies back in the day. And there used to always be this back end money. Like, you get a TV show, and if that show gets sold into syndication, there's tons of back end money. Or if you do a movie and that movie becomes, you know, the thing you see on TBS every 10 minutes for your older viewers, the younger ones don't watch like that. But if it became, there was always mailbox money attached to that. That doesn't exist anymore. Like, you do a show with Netflix, Netflix just owns it. There's no mailbox money at all. There's no back end. So what they've had to do is get more money up front. So you could conceivably do that in this era of college football, because there's no agent who can go to an AD with a straight face and say, my guy needs 5 years on his contract or he can't recruit. Well, players aren't stupid. Like, they know the coach probably isn't going to be there 4 or 5 years from now. And hell, most of them aren't planning to be there 4 or 5 years from now. So they might be planning to go to 2 or 3 different schools. So why not, instead of, you know, let's say some of these, the Billy Napier's the example I use at Florida, they gave him a $7.1 million a year deal for 7 years. Well, why? Give him $10 million a year for 3 years, fully guaranteed. And if they had done that at the end of the third year, they would have gone, well, we're not renewing you, and let the contract expire, $0 in dead money, and you just go hire the new coach. Or if he'd won, then you'd give him another deal. And so in that case, you would have paid him $30 million. When all is said and done, Florida's going to pay Billy Napier $47 million for 3+ seasons. When you add in his buyout and the salary they've already paid him. So $30 million is less than $47 million. So it sounds crazy, like, well, why would he pay a coach $10 million a year? Because you got to do something to get them to take less years and less guaranteed money. Their agents aren't dumb. The other thing you do is heavily incentivize. And that's, you could say, we'll give you $500,000 a win. And here's what your salary is. Here's your base salary guarantee. And here's how long it's guaranteed for. That's a lower number. But if you win a bunch of games, you get more money. Hmm. Which I think that would also be an attractive alternative to what they're doing now, which is incredibly stupid.
Yeah, it really is just the dumbest thing you've ever seen. All right, we'll wrap it up in the last couple of minutes, Andy. Back to the Big 12, the landscape in this league. First-year head coaches Rich Rodriguez and Scott Frost, of course, they're back at their respective universities. We're, you know, 2/3 of the way through the season. If you had to buy stock in one of those two programs right now, which one are you doing it with?
Ooh. I don't know. I still think UCF can be a really good program in the Big 12. I think the job at UCF is easier than the job at West Virginia. So that's probably where I'd go. And we've seen Frost do it before. Now, when Frost did it before, it was with mostly players that George O'Leary recruited. And he's got to go do this himself. He's got to go find the players. But that is a place where you should be able to recruit, especially now that they're in the Big 12. It's a more attractive destination than it was when they were in the American. So it's more because of the job itself that I would buy stock there.
Got it. Okay. Now that makes sense with all the talent in that area. So then when you look at other things in this conference this year, a lot of questions around what's going on with Kansas and Kansas State in particular. They both underachieved by those fan bases estimations coming into the season. Is there anything on the horizon there, or is it just, hey, down year, hit the reset button, and they'll go into 2026 as is?
Well, Kansas State's a weird one because you keep hearing these rumors, oh, you know, Chris Klieman might retire. He's young.
Yeah.
But I know they don't want to miss out on a chance of Colin Klein potentially being their head coach, and Colin Klein is having an amazing year as Texas A&M's offensive coordinator, and I do think he's going to factor into some of these jobs. I think we mentioned Oklahoma State, that opening before. I think they're going to look at him. I think you know, Arkansas may wind up looking at him. I think quite a few schools are going to at least kick the tires on Colin Klein. So if you're K-State, how do you handle that? Because obviously, eventually you'd like to bring him home. But Chris Klein is not old. Like, it's not like he is in a position where, oh, he's had a good run. And it, so I think they've got to figure out what they want to do next. I mean, obviously Avery Johnson has not panned out to be the super dynamic quarterback that we all thought he was going to be, but that doesn't mean he can't do that. You know, he can't get better next year. Kansas, you know, I think Lance Leipold worked a miracle at Kansas, and I realize that they're not happy with the results right now, but oh my God, think about where you were.
Yep.
4 or 5 years ago. It's still not an easy job. Like, it's still not one where you should expect them to compete for the Big 12 title every single year. Like, they're going to have their ups and their downs. And I know it's frustrating because last year was a down year, especially the way it started, and then they finished stronger. But I don't know. I just think when you went through the wilderness like Kansas did, you should have a little patience with the guy. You know, they're still above 500. They're still probably going to be a bowl team. Like, think about all those years under David Beatty and Les Miles, like when you were dreaming of maybe someday getting to a bowl. I don't know. The impatience with Leipold, given what he's done there, is a little bit vexing to me.
Hmm. Last thing, we'll end where we started. How many teams from this conference do you see ultimately making the playoff when all is said and done?
I think it'll be two. Hmm. I think it'll be two. I think maybe after Saturday's game in Lubbock, we'll have an idea of which two. But I do think two is the number. And then if Texas Tech wins, then we just look at, you know, what does BYU do the rest of the season? Because obviously they're going to have TCU. They're going to have that game at Cincinnati. That'll be a big one that, you know, basically will decide who gets that tiebreaker. So I think it's going to be fun to watch. And I just hope Saturday is a good game, because if they play this thing close and then they wind up playing again in the championship game, I think they may go into the championship game fairly comfortable that they're both getting in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Andy Staples does amazing work, as always, over at On3. You know where to find him on social media as well. Andy, thanks for talking some Big 12.
Thanks, guy. Thank you, Pete.
You bet. There you go. Andy Staples, appreciate him. Appreciate you. Make sure you like, subscribe to the channel, podcast as well. And, of course, always appreciate the radio affiliates.